And welcome to the Hey Boomer Show. My name is Wendy Green, and I am your host for Hey Boomer. And I have to say, this is my favorite day of the week when I get to go live with Hey Boomer. It is a show that is live every Monday on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And then by the next day, it's available on all of your podcast apps. So go and subscribe to the podcast if you're unable to listen to it live. Hey Boomer is for people who are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. It is for lifelong learners who believe that we are living our best life now in this next act of life. And if you are concerned about missing a live show or catching what we're doing on the events or the podcast, go ahead and subscribe to our email list. You can do that by going to bit.ly/heyboomer-subscribe. So I'd love to have you as part of our email list. Not any spam. I'll send you two emails a week. One is about what's coming up, what I'm thinking about. The other one is the show links to the live show. Simple. So this weekend, I got to go and visit two of my grandkids. In fact, the two that were in the picture on the blog this past week. And they're teenagers, right? So Grayson, the oldest, is a senior in high school. She is busy working on her essays to get into college. Griffin, her younger brother, is also a teenager. He is a chef, a chef wannabe, and a percussionist. And it was such a different experience than visiting them than when they're little, right? When they're little, they're like puppies. They get so excited when you come in and they want to hug you and snuggle with you and read to me, Wei Wei. Play games with me, Wei Wei. Let's go run around outside, Wei Wei. They call me Wei Wei. And it's, you know, it was so much fun. Now it's very different. They come in and they say hello. Maybe we have a very brief conversation and then they're off doing their own thing. And so grandparenting for teens is a very different experience than grandparenting for little ones. And Gramps Jeffrey is going to talk about an experience that he had with some of his younger grandchildren. He has six grandchildren scattered around the country. And he wrote a book called I Don't Want to Turn Three. It's adorable. And the book tells a story of an experience that he witnessed while these grandchildren were staying with at his house during the pandemic. I hope that's right. If not, he'll correct me. But his Gramps Jeffrey is his pen name. His real name is Mark Joseph. And he wrote another book called The Secrets of Retailing, How to Beat Walmart. And that was written to help entrepreneurs and small businesses compete against the big guys. But we're not going to talk about that today. We are going to talk about grandparenting and what else he's doing, because he's not ready to retire yet either. Brief reminder about our Alzheimer's walk. So that is October 1st, and we have three teams, one here in Greenville, South Carolina. There's a team walking in Maryland and a team walking in California. Our team is 97% to our goal of raising $1,500 this year, and we have 10 people walking. So I'd love for you to join us as a walker. I'd love for you to contribute. This is a passion of mine to find a way to maybe even find a cure for Alzheimer's, but at least to help people have a better experience and the families have a better understanding. And that's what the Alzheimer's Association does. So you can join us or contribute by going to act.alz.org/go-to/Hey Boomer. I'd love to see you out there. All right, let me bring Gramps Jeffrey on. Hello.
Wendy, thanks for inviting me.
Yes, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you.
Great.
So did I say that right, that you had the six kids with you during the pandemic?
Yeah, that was a good introduction. You know, living this past year because of the pandemic caused by COVID-19, in isolation, except for being able to be with my family, kind of gave me that special time to watch and interact with these grandkids. And I got to tell you what a trip that was. All six of these kids, you know, they have completely different personalities. But the one thing they do have in common is their sense of curiosity. And how excited they get when they do accomplish something. Mm-hmm. You know, watching them grow year to year and how they interact with each other really is the basis for this book. You know, what goes through a toddler's mind? The parents are so desperate to understand. When does a toddler really understand the difference between me and us?
So tell us the story. Tell us the story of the book.
The story is Jordan, who is 2 years old, is turning three. And as he's interacting with these his cousins, and this is a true story, this is just an observation I've had of these kids, as he's interacting with his other cousins, he's taking their toys. You know, he's taking his dinosaurs, they're taking the, one cousin is taking dolls from another cousin, he's just piling up all these toys, you know, and he's keeping them in his room. And then the day he has his birthday, everybody brings over more stuff. And his older cousin, Olivia, who is 8 years old at the time, you know, she goes into his room and she's a dancer and she was missing her dancing shoes. She says, "What are my dancing shoes doing in your room?" And all of a sudden she calls all the kids together and they find that all their stuff is in Jordan's room. Yeah. And so mom and dad really is the hero of this book. He kind of calls all the kids together and say, "Okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this?" And Olivia, and again, this is a true story, Olivia suggests that her school was giving away toys to the homeless kids downtown and that they should give everything away. And so that's how they agree to do that. It's kind of, you know, the father kind of pulls it together with all the kids, but that's how the story ends, that they give everything away to the homeless kids. And so that's what the book's about. You know, the real question in the book is, at what age do we begin to take responsibility for our actions? Mm-hmm. Is it 3 years old? Is it 13 years old? Is it 23 years old? You know, I'm a baby boomer. I got plenty of friends that are 63 years old that still don't take responsibility for their actions.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So did Jordan, did he get in trouble for what he did?
He got in trouble, but in the end, he agreed to give everything and everybody got together. And, this was their learning experience.
Wow.
When he was turning three. You know, as a baby boomer myself, I'm trying to understand how the world has evolved since I was 3 years old. You know, it's also kind of part of the story. You know, my parents didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the internet. You know, they didn't have cable TV. They didn't have remotes. I was my dad's remote. He says, "Son, go change the channel."
That's
you know,
right.
I was the remote. My parents' definition of discipline is quite different than the parents of today. You know, is this making for a better place for these kids to grow up? You know, I'll let your listeners kind of make that decision. Is it better growing up today or than when we were kids?
Yeah, well, and I, in my blog, I wrote about discipline, that discipline is really a derivative of disciple, which means to teach. And so parents today, I do think, try to teach more than, you know, spankings and go to your room and with all the anger that we used to have with our parents.
You know, I'm thinking about how I was disciplined in the 50s and 60s. You know, our parents were the greatest generation ever produced. The reason being is, you know, they went through the Depression. They saved the world in World War II. And so they were a very disciplined group when they came back. You know, and that discipline obviously was reflected on how they handled their kids. And this is a general statement, but, you know, taking me, for example, you know, my brother Larry and I, if we got in trouble, my mom said, "Wait till your dad gets home." And my dad would come home, he'd whip off his belt, and he'd be chasing us around the kitchen table for whatever we did. You know, he had this fraternity paddle that he also used on us. And one night when they were gone, my brother and I went into his closet and grabbed his fraternity paddle. And we lived up in Ohio, it was late fall, and the leaves were on the ground. And we decided to bury his fraternity paddle in the pile of leaves. And then it snowed the next day. And, you know, we went back out that spring, and the paddle was gone. That was a miracle to me. You know, the paddle was gone. That's how we were disciplined.
You know, so what about you as a parent? How did you discipline your children?
Well, I think I realized I don't want to be running around the table with a belt chasing my kids. So
right.
All of a sudden, we discipline them a lot different. You know, we start taking away privileges. We were the ones that they couldn't go out. That's our kind of discipline. We weren't chasing around. But I even see better discipline now for my kids. They learn.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. How do they discipline?
Yeah, you know, and my kids disciplined to send the kids a timeout. You know, and these kids are very social when they're 3, 4, 5 years old. They don't want to be sitting in a corner, you know, looking at the wall where all their friends are playing. But it was interesting. I was at Grace. I have a granddaughter named Grace, and I hear you had Grace instead. We went for her 3rd year birthday party, and she was playing with these trucks she had gotten for a birthday party with her older brother, who was 4 and a half, and they started to fight over these trucks. And she looks at him and she says, "I need my space." And she gets
my space.
And she goes and sits over on one side of the sofa. He looks at her and she says, "I need my space too." And he walks over to the other side of the sofa. Now, they didn't learn that on the internet. They didn't watch it. I am sure their mother at one point in time got so frustrated with these two kids, said, "I need my space."
That's right.
And walked away. But that's one of the ways of disciplining. It seems to work.
Yeah. And I think what they do also now is they explain more, you know, this is why you're getting punished and, or this is why you're going to time out. Right. But as a grandparent, I know that when we first met, you talked about how grandparents can be involved in the lives of their grandchildren. How do you see that?
Well, the interesting thing about our generation, I'm talking about the baby boomer generation, is that 30% of us, 30% of us grandparents are classified as remote. In other words, we're not getting involved in our kids' lives at all. You know, think about it, that's one out of every three. If there's a third person on the screen, there'll be the third person there. One out of every three of us. You know, we don't get involved with our kids, grandkids at all. I mean, we may show up at a birthday party, we may see them at Christmas, but that's about it. You know, our generation, like us baby boomers, we're a very selfish generation. I don't care what you tell yourselves. We say, hey, we raised our kids, we gave them the best way to do it. That was up to them. I got things I got to do. I got to go on my bucket list. I got to play some pickleball. You know, that's a third of us. That's one out of every three of us are not involved in that. Now you got to ask yourself, what causes that? What causes a third of the baby boomers of today not to be involved in their with their kids? Well, one of the things is we cause it. Okay, in other words, you know, we as baby boomers may not have liked the spouse that they married. All right, so we cause some tension in a marriage. You know, we are the ones that cause this anxiety. You know, we as baby boomers may be giving our kids unsolicited advice that they don't want to hear because again, they're grown-ups now. You know, we cause that. We may just show up at their house unannounced. That causes tension. So we do things that do this that causes the undermining of a parent's authority. By challenging what a parent is teaching their kids. You mentioned teaching. That's what, you know, if we challenge what they're teaching their kids, you know, that question the parents' values and the parents' family structure. You know, we tend to play favorites and manipulate these kids. Now, I've got 6 grandkids, and, you know, I have a favorite, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to
tell them. Don't tell
them. That's going to cause a problem. So you know, we tend to do that. We manipulate siblings. That causes reason for us grandparents to the parents say, "Hey, I just don't want you involved in our lives." You know, we may do lots of transactions for them, money, gifts, vacation. That the parents don't like to have that. You know, we may not have empathy. You know, we think we have empathy, but we may not have empathy for these 2, 3, 4 year olds.
So that's all the things that other 30% doesn't do. But what about you as a grandparent? I know that reading to your grandchildren is super important. Do they like you to read this book, I Don't Want to Turn 3?
Interesting you said that because, you know, at first I read it to them, you know, and then they liked it. But just 2 weeks ago, Olivia, who is now 9, grabbed a couple of her cousins and grabbed the book And for some reason went under my desk. She didn't know I was around the corner. And I heard her reading the book to her two cousins. And Jackson says, "Hey, that's me with my dinosaurs." And Levi said, that's me in the bathtub, because all the pictures in the book are pictures that I had taken of the kids. And then I sent them to an illustrator to make them into cartoons. And so they are at the stage now that they're reading the book to each other.
Yeah. But reading to the kids is a really special thing that, you know, I did as a parent and a grandparent when they were little. What are some of your favorite books that you share with the kids?
Well, I'm a really big Dr. Seuss fan. I love The Cat in the Hat, One Fish, Two Fish, Three Fish, Blue Fish, and the reason I like it is because the alliteration, the language it helps produce. In fact, I was on my bucket list final trip last week. I wanted to make sure my wife and I now have visited all 50 states.
Congratulations.
So we went up to the Northeast, and I had the opportunity to actually go to where Dr. Seuss has a museum. Yeah. So if you want a picture of me and Dr. Seuss, hey, I'm glad to send it to you. that was so special for me, because I loved his books. I love giving his books to the kids. Happens to be in Springfield, Massachusetts. I was able to knock off two things. There is also, Springfield also has where the National Basketball Association has their museum. So I was able to do that, which is another passion of mine. I was able to see Dr. Seuss and what he did in his museum and see the basketball. So I'm a real Dr. Seuss fan.
Oh, that's fun. Dr. Seuss is fun. And I heard you talking, I think, on another show about how you stay in touch with the kids that don't live close to you, that there was something you were doing.
Yeah, you know, when you think about it, when I was growing up as a kid, I was lucky. I lived in a town where my uncle was up the street and my grandmother was two blocks away. And so, we were all together. It was a whole different way of growing up. But in today's world, we are scattered all over this country. I mean, I myself, like you're talking about, I got two here in Arizona with me. I got two grandkids in Austin, Texas. I got two in Orlando, Florida. So during the COVID, when we all had all six of them in the house for about 6 weeks, we really had a chance to interact with them and be with them. That's what the basis of the book is based on, is how they interacted with each other. So they had a chance to really know our house and our yard and all that kind of stuff. But the one thing that all these little kids have in common, and it blows my mind, is they know all about dinosaurs. These two-year-olds, they can tell you about dinosaurs. They can talk about, they say these big long dinosaur names, out of a three-year-old's mouth. It's like, how do they know that? I mean, all I know about dinosaurs are small, medium, and large, but they can tell me what dinosaurs eat, who their friends were. Dinosaurs is the language of little kids. Notice it when we take them to a park, when they're meeting new kids, all of a sudden dinosaurs come up again. So we decided that we've got to do something to keep in touch with these kids once they go back to Texas and Florida, because, little kids, they're not going to pick up the phone and call you. That doesn't happen. So you've got to figure out a way to keep in touch with them. So we came up with the idea that, we have six dinosaurs and they were playing with at the house, that we would put our dinosaurs someplace different every night for these kids to see. So, for instance, they were in the refrigerator eating blueberries. The next night, they were at the sink with grandma washing dishes with soap on their noses. They were another night, they were playing the piano. Another night, they were walking up the steps. So we had 50 different nights of the dinosaurs doing something inside or outside our house that the kids could relate to. So what happened is, we became part of the routine for these kids. They would take a bath, mom and dad would read them a book, and then they would say, "What are the dinosaurs doing tonight?" And they would call my wife's iPhone on FaceTime and say, "Where's Gramps? Where's Gramps? What are the dinosaurs doing tonight?" So that was a way for us to keep in touch with them, on a common ground. I'm sure your listeners can come up with other stories to do that. But in today's world, when these grandkids, don't live down the street like I used to, we've got to come up with innovative ways to keep in touch with them.
Yeah, I love that idea. That sounds like so much fun for the little ones. I wish I could do something like that with the bigger ones now.
We do. They're that big.
I know. So let me, you know, hey, Boomer, the show is about reinvention, and you were a businessman. Then you wrote this children's book, and now I understand you started a website called babyboomer.org. So when people ask you, so, Gramps, Mark, what are you doing now? What do you say?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm also working on another book, and the book is I Don't Want to Turn Four.
Oh, okay.
You think about it, you know, there's so many, I don't want to turn 39. I don't want to turn 69. There are so many topics, so many ages that we have that we go through. I don't want to turn 21. You know, that we think about where we are today and how safe it is and what is the future. I mean, to give you an example, my granddaughter Olivia came to me last week, and she just turned 9, and she says, Gramps, I got a great idea for our next book. So what is
our next book?
And she says, I don't want to turn 10. I said, why don't you want to turn 10? She says, well, you know, I got to start worrying about driving. I said, that's 7 years away. Why are you worrying about that? She says, you know, and I got to start thinking about picking out a college. I said, that's 9 years away. Why are you worrying about that now? And she says, you know, and the fifth graders, they have a lot more homework than us fourth graders. And I don't want to do that. She says, so I think our next book should be I Don't Want to Turn 10. So that's one thing I'm working on. But, you know, if you ask me what I am doing now is, you know, we as a baby boomer generation, you know, there's 77 million of us. There's a lot of us when you think about it. You know, we are very diverse, you know, kind of generation. I mean, we are as diverse as the generations before and after us, whether it's politics, we can see it every day, whether it's religion, we're very, very diverse. But the one thing that we as baby boomers have in common is a shared experience. You know, we went through the same things together as we were growing up. You know, we were all there for both of the Kennedy assassinations. We were there for the Martin Luther King assassination. We were there for the landing on the moon. You know, we were there when birth control started to really take off and be widespread. You know, we were there for Vietnam, both good and bad. I mean, whether we were in it or out of it or protesting, we were there when the four of us got killed in Kent State. You know, we were there for the riots in the streets in the late 60s. You know, but we were also there for music. We got Elvis, you know, we got the Beatles, we got the Beach Boys, we got the Association, Three Dog Night, you know, we got the Supremes. You know, this is a generation that we are all sharing the same thing. You know we have all the songs that we cherish, you know, by Association, you know, all the favorite things that we have going on. The movies, you think about it, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. You know, the Jaws, all the Spielberg movies. You got Animal House, Star Wars.
So all of those experiences, how do you bring those to being a grandparent now?
So that's the most interesting question of the day. In that when you think about it, this generation coming up, okay, this generation that's, you know, 1 to 10 years old today is going to become the greatest generation this country has ever produced. I mean, you think about it, they come right out of the womb and they're on the internet. You know, they've got cell phones, they've got all kinds of electronic exposure. I mean, I didn't get on the internet till I was 40 years old. These kids they're born with it. Right. So they are so much smarter than we have ever been. And it's our job as grandparents to offset all that. It's our job as grandparents to make sure that their lives are rounded out, that they're not entirely spent their entire day on the internet. We have got to get back and using our experiences, you know, get with them and bring them along and teach them things outside of what they're learning online. You know, we got to get them outside like when we were growing up. We didn't have the internet when we were growing up. We were out there playing baseball or, you know, swimming. We were doing all kinds of things like that. You know, but the one thing that I encourage all of your listeners to do, and the one thing that really does offset all of this internet great stuff they're learning, is we got to get these kids into reading books, into listening to books. You know, when you think about it, and just picture me as a grandfather. You know, I've got a chance to read a book to my 3-year-old. And so they're sitting on my lap. I got 20 minutes with them. And, you know, it creates all kinds of things. First thing it does is creates bonding. You know, it gives you a nice time to spend together. It gives you a chance to for the kids to feel secure and they're loved. So it creates bonding, reading books to kids. Another thing that reading books to kids creates is supports listening skills. Now, you and I both know at our age now that listening skills is the best skill we can have. I mean, you as a podcaster, do you have to listen to make and ask the right questions? You know, me as a business guy, I got to listen for sales and marketing. We have to listen. So if we can teach these kids when they're 2, 3, and 4 years old, the skill of listening, because reading a book requires them to listen, that may be the best thing we can pass on to them.
Yeah, yeah. I think the other thing you get from the book is the critical thinking skills. So you're reading to them, they're listening, and then you might ask them, so what do you think, you know, Jeremy felt after that happened? Or what do you think might happen next? So that they can start like creating thoughts in their own mind instead of just regurgitating what they're getting on the internet.
You hit on a key thought, and this is another thought for the day, is it is necessary to teach children how to think, mm-hmm. not what to think. It's necessary for us to teach them how to think. And as grandparents, we can do that because, yeah, you hit right on it. So before you even, you know, pick up a book, you know, you got the book and you're looking at it, and you ask them the question, what do you think is going to happen in this book? You know, that's the first question you should have before you even open it up. Let them start that thing of, you know, we need to teach them how to think. Mm-hmm. You know, while you're reading the book, you know, who are the characters in this book? You know, what is the setting? Is it something familiar to them? Is it something fantasy? Is it something they don't know? Gives you a chance to talk, gives you a chance to communicate. You know, does anything in this book sound familiar to you? It gives them a chance to think. And then after, when it's all done, you should be doing what you should be doing every night at dinner time. I ask them how their day, well, the day was. You know, does anything in this book sound familiar to you? So you hit on it, exactly. The reading of the book helps do that. You know, supports listening skills, but it also helps with teaching them, you know, how to begin to think. Now, it also does, it creates cognitive and development. Language development on this, because you know there are plenty of these words in the books the kids don't understand. It gives you a chance to explain. There's plenty of words in these books I don't understand. You go look up. You know, it really gives you a chance to interact and teach them as part of the teaching process. You know, another reason is the attention span. You know, these kids 2, 3, and 4 years old, they bounce off the walls. You get them in your lap for 20 minutes, it gives them key concentration and self-discipline skills. You know, those are the things we as grandparents can teach these kids.
Yeah, yeah. And I love having the one-on-one time because I think, you know, as I said, mine are teens. So when you make that investment when they're young to have built up that rapport with them, I also did what I called Camp Weiwei. I would take them by myself for a few days, for a weekend or a few days, and we would explore. We would go out in nature. We would do art projects. We would sing songs, you know, be goofy. But I think building that rapport when they're young, when they become teens and they're like, yeah, I'm too busy with my friends right now, but they still have that. They know that that's there and that'll come back.
Yeah. I mean, and there's plenty of times that they can't talk about things with their parents. Yeah. And if you can become that place where they can go to and ask these questions, you know, keep in mind, you know, not all families are moms and dads. I mean, you've got a lot of single parents out there. You know, you've got, when you think about, you know, grandparenting, there are grandparents right now are raising 2.6 million kids in this country alone, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Mm. That's 2.6 million kids that go to the grandparents and they're not with the parents.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you think about that, it takes a village to raise these kids. It takes mom and dad. It takes grandpa and grandpa. It takes all the aunts and the uncles and the cousins and all the friends. We all need to raise these kids because they have to see all kinds of things in life so that they can question life, you know, teaching them how to think so they can make up their own minds.
Yeah.
So it's important that we all get involved just to help raise these kids, and to say offsetting, but to add value to what they're learning now through the internet and all these iPhones.
So I have to ask you, because you use the term unsolicited advice. Have you been caught giving unsolicited advice as I have?
I think that may be a common thing. Yeah. We got to step back and say, we raised great kids, and if we taught them right, they're going to do the right thing. But yes. And you can still see the expression on your child's face when you give them that unsolicited advice.
I know. Or you step in and you say something to one of the grandkids, and they're like, "Mom, I got this." Yeah. Okay. You know, and at first, I don't know about you, but at first it did kind of hurt my feelings, because I was like, "Well, wait, I raised you and I did okay." You know, like, but they have their way and it's different. Yeah.
Well, I think it comes back to you. And I don't know if you've had this discussion, but, you know, my wife and I have lots of stuff, and we don't think any of our kids are going to want any of it. You know, it's a different generation. Yeah, you know, they don't like our furniture. They don't like our clothes. You know, it's a different generation, and we just have to realize that. So I think that we raise great kids, and hopefully they're going to raise great kids.
Yeah, I agree, and it's fun to watch them develop into who they're going to be. The little ones, you know, you see some of it when they're young, but. Do you like go through in your mind, start imagining this one's going to be that and this one's going to be that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, take a look at the two guys on the front of okay. And again, Levi, he loves wearing his goggles in the bathtub.
In the bathtub. That's so cute.
But he loves seance, and he can sit there for hours. We were on a drive 2 weeks ago. And he was going through all the things with whales and fish, and he'll be a marine biologist. You know, the other one, you know, Jackson, I mean, he loves dinosaurs. That's what he does all his life. So, you know, I think he's going to be attracted to the dinosaur world. You know? So, and Olivia is a dancer. She just loves to dance. So I wouldn't be surprised if she becomes a professional dancer.
She may be a co-author with you too. Sounds like
after the book first, So they're all, again, they all grew up. They all came from the same kind of stock. You know,
I know, and they keep changing. It's really interesting to watch how their interests progress. So,
right,
you've got a lot of fun ahead of you. So, here's a life question, Gramps. How would you like to be remembered?
I think we all need to be, how would I like to be remembered? I would like to be remembered that I got involved with the upbringing of my kids. And I think it's an offset. You know, when I was young and I was a parent, my life was business. I mean, I was flying all over the world. And so I missed a lot of my kids' soccer matches and a lot of their concerts and all that. And, you know, and I regret that. Yeah, you know, but my generation, and I don't think I'm alone, you know, we were going after the money, we were going after the job, we were going after our reputation. So I missed a lot of what my kids were doing when they were growing up. And I can see that I'm trying to make up for that. Yeah, and I guess be careful. I don't make up for it too much, so that I get the same look that you got when you got your kid, and your kid looked at you like, "Lean, you know, stand back." So that's how I want to be remembered. I want to be remembered that I had an influence in rounding out these grandkids.
Yeah. So, what is your next time that you think you'll have them all together?
So I'm thinking that we're going to try to get them all together next year. Again, you know, they'll be able to fly in, and they're not going to be with the COVID thing and so forth. Right. And just so they can all see each other. You know, it's been a couple of years now.
I know.
They've been able to really see each other. And so that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, it's nice for the grandkids to all be together.
Right.
Yeah. We'll probably do Thanksgiving here. So You have another thing that you're doing, this babyboomer.org that I mentioned in the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I've got three other baby boomer partners, and we developed a site called babyboomer.org. And our goal is to pull together everything, you know, kind of like we were talking about earlier, all these experiences that we have all had, and a place where we can go, where you can find information about finance and retirement and dementia and Alzheimer's, you know, all the kinds of things that that we as a generation need to know more about. I mean, there's a whole section on pickleball and how to do athletics, there's music and so we're pulling it all together, and we're getting experts in our generation to become the experts on the site. So when you come to the site, you'll see some experts in every one of these different categories. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, we want to have a place where baby boomers are comfortable in what they're doing. You know, for instance, I got an email from one of our people that have been on the site a couple nights ago. And she says, you know, I got lost on your site for 3 hours. She says, I came in to listen to one podcast, but then I saw one that was very similar. I wanted that subject. And she says, all of a sudden, I spent 3 hours on your site. She says, I don't know if that's good or bad.
I know.
But you get lost in the site like that. But that's what we want. We want baby boomers to feel comfortable. You know, because there's no agenda here. It's just we want to provide everyone with the latest information about what's going on in the world today, plus a chance to look back on what happened when they were growing up.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of resources on there. It's well done. I think the site is very well done. So I would encourage people to go check it out. babyboomer.org, and also grampsjeffrey.com. So tell us why it's Gramps Jeffrey and not Gramps Mark.
Well, I found out that early on, these little kids can say G's pretty fast. So I wanted to make sure it was Gramps. But my middle name is Jeffrey. And for some reason, my wife, since we've been married, has spelled it wrong every time. So I figured if I put it on the book, and it's spelled wrong on there, it should be J-E-F-F-R-E-Y.
So isn't it R-E-Y? Oh, did I leave the R out? Oh, dear.
Oh, it's almost like my wife. You spelled it right in.
Let me fix that. J-E-F-F-R-E-Y.
Anyway, so all these years, she's been spelling it the other way to spell Jeffrey. So I figured if I put it on a book, she'll finally learn how to spell my middle name. And she does. She can spell it now. There we go.
There we go. GrampsJeffrey.com. And that's where you can find this book, I Don't Want to Turn Three. And also your how to beat the retailers, right?
It's Secrets of Retailing.
There you go.
How to Beat Walmart.
There you go.
Can find that there too. But you can find both books on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, about 100 other sites out there.
Okay.
The books there too,
but it has a contact, so if they wanted to reach out to you, they can reach out to you from there, correct?
Oh, please, if anyone wants to continue this conversation, just email me at grampsjeffrey@gmail.com. That's J-E-F-F-R-E-Y.
R-E-Y. That's right. All right, so Hey Boomer is for people that are over 55 that are trying to live our best lives, and I always ask my guest if you have two or three takeaways. We've talked about the book, grandparenting, babyboomer.org. What would be some takeaways you'd like to leave with us today?
One takeaway is one of the things we talked about is necessary for us to teach children how to think, not what to think, but how to think. So as you're interacting with these young kids, keep that in mind, question them, teach them to question. You know, so we need to teach them how to think. You know, and you know, we're talking about questions and how we, when we were reading the book about, you know, what kind of questions you need to ask. There's one question that I would like everyone to ask their children and the grandchildren. And if they ask this question, can you imagine what difference this world's going to be? The question I want you to ask is, what did you do today that was nice to someone else? I want you to start asking your 2, 3, 4-year-olds. Now, when you first ask them that question, they're going to look at you like, you know, what did I do? I took my cousin's toys. That's what I did. Yeah. But if you ask them that question every day, over 2 or 3 times, they're going to, you know, days, they're going to say, they're pretty serious about this. I got to figure out, what am I going to do that's going to be nice to someone? You know, maybe they'll open up the door for someone. Maybe they'll walk an old lady across the street. But if you think about it, if we can have all of our kids, and we ask them this every day, what did you do today that was nice to someone else? Can you imagine the difference in this country if everybody did that?
Let me ask you, what did you do today that was nice to somebody else?
I happened to make breakfast for my wife.
Aww. Good answer.
Well, then, you know, my final thought would be the one thing that we need to be telling these kids and what they learn from us, because they watch us, you know, they're sponges. They do what we do when they're young is, well, you know, when you love, you will teach others to love. So show them that you love them. That way you'll teach them to love also.
I think that's so important. We are role models and they are sponges, and hugging and touching and loving and, you know, the words and the actions. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Well, thank you. This has been fun, a fun conversation. So I appreciate your time today and all that you are doing. You are not even close to being retired. all right. So let me just remind people about how they can subscribe to Hey Boomer. And that would be to go to bit.ly/heyboomer-subscribe. That will get you on the email list. You can also go to any of the podcast apps and subscribe to the podcast. And I would love to have you join our Alzheimer's Walk or contribute. And that's act.alz.org/go-to/heyboomer. And the walk is October the 1st. So before I let you go, I'm going to tell you about who is going to be our guest for next week. Her name is Janine Vanderberg. Have you heard of Janine?
No.
Janine is I'm really excited about having Janine. She's one of the leaders in the aging and ageist awareness and, you know, how do we change the conversation, the narrative, she calls it. How do we change the narrative of aging and ageism? And we are actually going to talk about celebrations around aging and how to do that in a way that is caring and loving and respectful, like you said, and fun. So that should be a great conversation. And before I let everybody else go, I like to remind you of the belief that we can all live with passion, live with relevance, and live with courage. And you are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. My name is Wendy Green, and this has been Hey Boomer.